Okay, Sunday night, Chayvus Halvavus. So we're holding, and the Chayvus Halvavus' tangential point. He goes off on a tangent, and he wants to know, according to his explanation of Hishtadlus, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which Hishtadlus is necessary. And he explained it because the purpose of any Hishtadlus, and he seems to focus always on Parnasa, because that really consumes our lives, really, more than anything else. The need for parnosa, the need for putting bread on the table, the need for paying for things that we want to have in life, the need for anything we want to do. Everything is money, nothing's for free. So we're consumed by that hishtadlus, and so he says, he says, according to those reasons, a tzaddik, someone who's proven himself, someone who can steig spiritually more from not being weighed down with parnasa. In other words, okay, the bulk of people have to be weighed down with parnasa issues and hishtadlus in order to grow spiritually. Whether that's where bechira lies, or just to keep us out of trouble, keep us busy. But he says, you know, there are people that they've passed a certain level and they're already ready for higher spiritual nisyonos, higher spiritual growth, not just the mundane of your everyday person. So why are they struggling with parnasa? Doesn't fit in. Chaim Salvovus is saying, you know, I'm convinced that what I'm saying is correct. So you ask me a question from the times, like he's so convinced it's true that, you know, it's not that often, like 80% of the time, but, you know, he doesn't want even a few times. What's the pshat in these few times that we see the tzaddik, someone who it seems to us that his spiritual growth would be more pronounced if he wouldn't be burdened by this, you know, so this is also for spiritual growth, but he's past that already, you know, he's beyond the stage of where we're going to worry about what he's going to do with his spare time. He has higher nisyonos. You know, no one can ever be sure of himself. We learn a Pirkei Avos, but he's ready for a higher level. And to him, it's just a pain in the neck. It just weighs him down, this struggle for parnasa. And it just is a detriment to his spiritual growth, it seems. So we said that the Chayvus Halvavus makes it into a larger issue. It's taka, it makes no sense. Taka doesn't fit. And he immediately says, you know, he makes it into the larger issue of tzaddik v'ra'lo and rosh v'tovlo. In general, why do seemingly righteous people have it rough and have illnesses, and whether it's struggles with parnasa or illnesses or agmas nefesh, and the rosha, you know, there's rishon that are sitting pretty, enjoying life seemingly. So that's a major issue. And he says, so this parnosa issue, hishtadlus issue, is not a local question. It's a universal question. And being a universal question, he says, it was asked by the Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im weren't just talking about parnosa, you know. The Nevi'im were talking about in general, Madur derech rishon salecha. Why is the way of rishon, why is it successful? Why is there injustice in the world? Why do righteous people suffer and wicked people are flowering? You know, we see a lot of things that are very painful. Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered by Moshe Rabbeinu, who spent 40 days, so to speak, talking to Hashem, who plumbed the depths of knowledge of Hashem more than any other human being. He couldn't handle, so to speak. Oh, he questioned. He demanded to know. He couldn't live with Tzaddik Baralo and Rosh Avitovlo. How come there's injustice in the world? So this is a universal, global issue. The Nevi'im asked it. Hinei Eile Rishoyim B'shalvi Olam Hisgu Chayil. The Pasuk says in Tehillim. And then they're B'shalva, they're serene. They're... How do you understand that? The Nevi'im couldn't understand. The Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand it. Ella, Shekitzer HaNovi B'Tshuva. So we're on page Kuf Lamed Ches in the print that we're using, in the edition that we're using, Rav Kapach's page Kuf Lamed Ches, the second line. Ella, Shekitzer HaNovi B'Tshuva. So the Navi never answered his question. Not really. He never gave a satisfactory answer. Hashem also never gave a satisfactory answer to Moshe Rabbeinu, a satisfactory in the sense that we can walk home with the answer and say, okay, my question was answered. Next. You know, he said, there's some things you're not going to understand, right? V'riso es ponai, v'riso sachorai, uponai lo yeirou. So we talked a little about what that might mean last week. But Akoponim, he didn't give him, he said, you know, there are things that are beyond human comprehension. And Hashem is the master planner, and he has everything's in front of him, and just things that, you know, the human mind is not capable of grasping. It's too involved, it's too complex, there's too many cheshbonos. So therefore, the Navi doesn't give an answer. The Chavis Halvodah says the Navi doesn't give an answer, because there's so many answers, but they're all local. There's no one universal global answer. I mean, there is really, you know, it's emuna, but that's not an answer. I mean, it's the way to deal with it. You say, you know, Kel Emuna Tzidok Hadin, it's called. We say it by Rechmona Lislan Alevaya. We say, Hatzur Tomim Pa'olo, Kichol Derachov Mishpat, Kel Emuna Ve'en Ovel, Tzadik V'yashar Hu. That's a firm foundation of our belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do injustice. But that's not an answer. That's just a way of coping. We're talking about answers. We want answers. And the Chavis Halvodah, he's not telling you to shashdil, be quiet and be a good girl and go home. He wants an answer. So he says the Navi doesn't really give an answer because there are so many answers and they're unique to each situation that the Navi doesn't work like that. The Navi can't give you, it's a global universal question, but there's no global universal answer. All of the tzaddikim who are suffering, or it's not just, you know, it's injustice, all the injustice, the unfairness that we perceive in the world. And the rishoyim who have it good, zulas hasibo shel ha'acher, they're all different. There's no one answer. Ela sheheir al kach. So we have a little taste, Ba'omro, when the Pasuk says, Hanistoros Lashem Elokeinu, Vaniglos Lonu Levaneinu. It's beyond our comprehension. That's all he'll say. He doesn't start, he can't, you know, there's a lot of possible answers for each individual, unique, single situation. But in general, so he just says, there are some things that are beyond your comprehension. The Omer HaChochem Al Kayotzi Bezeh, in Kehelis it says, in Oshek, if the robbery of a poor person, the Gezel, Mishpat Tzedek, and the injustice, you know, people, Tira Bamadina, if you see injustice, you see a society which is not just, and it kills you, you know, it burns you up. Let's already assume we're talking about a person who's just in their own life. So they have a right to be upset at society for being unjust. But it bothers a lot of people. You know, I used to be on a Beis Din in Muncie, and I dealt with, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't talk about it. I hope I'm not hurting anyone. Women who need gittin. It's a whole parasha. I'm sure everyone is at least aware of it. Maybe even know someone who was affected by it. And there's a lot of injustice, and but they seemingly don't deal with it, you know, and it's a very sore topic, S-O-R-E, it's a very sore topic, and people are bothered by it, and people are bothered by what happened in Gush Katif, you know, I can't swallow it, I can't live with it, kills me every time I just think about it, and so what does the pasuk say in Kehelis? Al tisma la chayfetz. I'm talking mitzad the Eibishter, I'm not upset at the people. You should be upset at the people and demand justice. We're talking already someone who's looking beyond people, beyond sociology. We're looking, well, Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything. If someone is unjust, if someone robs me, steals from me, so, okay, I'm going to go after the Ganav. And if the Bati Din or the courts, whatever, don't deal with it, if the policemen look aside, So you should bang on the table and demand justice. But we're talking now a person that's looking at Hashem. Right? And he's saying, why is Hashem allowing such a society? You know, Sodom v'Amorah. He destroyed Sodom v'Amorah. Well, why is this going on? What did we do to deserve this? You know. So that's the question. So Al Tit Malachet, that Shlomo HaMelech says, sometimes you just have to, don't accept it. I'm going off a little where a person is at fault, because he's talking about that. Shlomo HaMelech is talking about a society that's unjust, so people are creating the injustice. We have questions on Hashem when a one-day-old baby dies, right? When a young person dies, when a parent buries a child, we have questions. There's a lot of things that are not fair, you know. So that's what we're talking about, you know. Tzadik v'ralo rosh v'tovlo. When he brings down this pasuk, that's when I also sort of went off. When he, Shlomo HaMelech applies it even when people are performing the injustice. You have an unjust society. The political system's corrupt. There's gnevus that are overlooked. People are getting, you know, people are being taken advantage of. The schools and all, you know, all of our complaints, right? So if you're looking at it from, when you look beyond what you can do to fix it up, and you say, why is Hashem doing this to us? What did I do to deserve this? This is not. So you say, you know, so Shlomo HaMelech gives the global answer. The global answer is don't ask questions. Hatzur tamim palo kichol derechav mishpat. That's the global answer. And he doesn't give, and it's not an answer. So as I said, it's a way of coping with it. Answers, Chavetz Chaim says, the Novi doesn't give answers because they're varied. There's a lot of answers. Every case is different. In the next paragraph, the Chavetz Chaim says, I'm going to now run through, and he doesn't do it justice. And he says, I'm not going to do it justice. In around 20 lines, he gives you 10 reasons why that might be going on. And he says, you know, you'll never know which is the true reason in this particular case. So the true answer is what the Navi says. You know, believe, you know, you cope with it by saying, you know, Kel emunu ve'inov el tzadik v'yashar hu. There's a dichotomy here. The Chavis Halavis, very scientific in his approach, very rational, very reasoned, very structured, very rational, very very scientific sefer. And he that's why I think, like, at the same time, while on one side of his mouth he just got through saying, well, the Navi is not going to explain it. The Navi just says, Kel emunu ve'ein avil. Don't ask questions on Hashem. Some things you just have to accept that are beyond that comprehension. But then in the very next breath, he says, but I'll give you a couple of things, to, you know, just to hang on to. I think it's so typical Chavis Haldavis. He's recognizing that you can't really just expect people to it's hard. It's very hard. To just say, you know, I believe, and, you know. You know, the Rav Zalov doesn't want you to just have bitachon, right? He spent pages and pages saying why bitachon is the most logical thing in the world to have. You just have to work at it. That's all. It's so logical. It's so normal. It's so natural. It's so obvious. Like, how can you not have bitachon, right? And the v'chein and sharavodas elokim. And I've said it before. I'll say it again. You know, you'll send me an email if it gets boring. Or when it gets boring, I should say. Chavis doesn't accept that you have to listen to Hashem because he's the Melech and you're the Eved and Tof. He doesn't accept that. The whole Shara of Avodas Elokim is based on explaining to a person logically and rationally and commonsensically why it's the most logical, natural, normal, obvious thing in the world to submit yourself to Hashem's will. Like, how could you not? That's what Shara Avodas Elokim is about. That's a very scientific, rational sefer, very modern sefer, very scientific sefer. You would tell the Chavis Halavos, what are you asking these questions for? Because you got to listen to Hashem. It says so in the Torah. He goes, I don't like that answer. Why do you have to listen to the Torah for? He would say. So, in the when he just gets through saying that they don't tell you the answer in the Nevi'im, in the Torah, they tell you it's beyond your comprehension, he tells you they only mean to say that there are so many possible reasons, and those reasons go into the past, and they go into the future, and they plumb the depths of a person's psyche, and a human being can't, you know... If one of the answers is that the person is secretly a Rasha, or one of the answers is that the Rasha has it good because he's going to have a grandchild that's going to do tshuva someday, and he's going to get his wealth. So the Rasha has it good because the grandson is going to enable the grandson to live well when he does tshuva. You know, so that's future, and then there's past, and maybe it's even a past Gilgal, which Chazal's Gada doesn't say, but I'm saying it. Sometimes, you know, the one-day-old baby was a reincarnation, and it needed one more day of existence in this world, you know. And so we don't know. He's going to throw out 10 answers, 10 possibilities for Tzadik Viralo, 10 possibilities for Rasha Vitovlo. It's beyond any particular case is beyond that comprehension. We could never point to a case and say, "Oh, this is reason number 3B of the Chayos Halvavos." We don't know. We don't know what's doing in the hearts of man. We don't know the past. We don't know the future. We don't know things that are beyond us. So that's what he's doing. He's saying you have to live with the fact that you can't ultimately understand any particular instance, and that's why we have Tzidduk HaDin, where we declare. Kale as it is, we declare Atzur Tomimpa Aloki Khalder Khab Mishpat, Kale Munov Ainovel Tzadik Vyashar Hu. I mean, that's the quintessential Tziduk HaDin. That's why it's called Tziduk HaDin. When we're Makabel, when Hashem did, you know, with Rav Meir lost two children, and he said, Hashem Nosam Hashem Lokach, Yishem Hashem Mavorach. That's it, you know. What am I going to try to understand? And he just accepted it. But the Chavil Lovis, you know, okay, but here's 10 possible things, and that'll help you. It'll help you. Here's the 10 possible reasons. But I mentioned before, I have a sister that had a child that was nifta, tragically. She was recently married, and she and her husband, my niece and her husband, were tragically, after 1 year of marriage, were tragically killed in a car accident. And no children. And, you know, so... When people started explaining it, it was very hurtful. Very hurtful. You don't want to hear explanations. So, you know, it's hurtful. When people, maybe it's hurtful to hear it from others. Maybe it's hurtful that someone wants to rationally, you know, you'd rather it remain incomprehensible. I'm talking now because as we learned the Chavis HaLmovis, you know, don't tell this to someone who suffers. That's what I'm coming to say. That's what I've learned. I learned that then. That the person would rather it remain incomprehensible and would rather just say Tzidduk HaDin. You know, Kel Emunah Ve'Inovel Tzadik V'Yashar Hu. I accept and I believe. Then you start suggesting and making it rational why this incomprehensible, irrational, a tragic event occurred. I don't know. Maybe not everybody reacts that way. But my sister's a tzaddikess, and she couldn't handle that. You know, that. Go away. Stop. Be quiet. I don't want to hear that. You know? So, having said that, what?
Makes it lighter.
Maybe it was just during the shiva or afterwards. It was. I would say for around a year. She couldn't even...
No, I understand. As I'm saying, it makes light of it. You'd rather it be something that just...
You'd rather it be beyond your comprehension. You'd rather not understand it.
You can understand it. It makes light of it.
So when the Chavis HaLovis gives his reasons, that's why it's important. The Chavis HaLovis is not just talking here. He's not just... It's very... I've tried to explain what he's doing here. He spends 10 lines saying there is no answer. And the Nevi'im didn't give us an answer. There's no global answer. But I'm going to tell you 10 possibilities. You know, think about it. And whenever you're feeling that Hashem is maybe unjust, So realize how complex and how interwoven and how complicated this world is. We are very, you know, the Chafetz Chaim has a beautiful marshal, you know, of a guy that comes in as a guest to a shul, and he sees this guy gets Kohen, and this guy gets Levi, and this guy gets Shlishi, and Ravi, and he doesn't understand, like, the Rav didn't get an Aliyah, and this hush of a person didn't get an Aliyah, and this guy got Maftir, like, what's he, you know, he's a ne'er-do-well, what are you giving him Maftir for? So he's a guest in the shul. He wasn't there last week. He wasn't there the week before. He doesn't really know the people in the shul. He's not going to be there next week or the week after. He doesn't know who has yahrzeit, who doesn't have yahrzeit. He doesn't know who's making a kiddush, who's not making a kiddush. He doesn't know that this guy hasn't had an aliyah for a year already. He doesn't know he's a guest. So he says, we're in this world, we're like that guest. We come into the world for a very short period of time. We see things and like, what? But what do we know? We weren't there the week before. We weren't there the week after. We're not going to be there the week afterwards. And if we would see the whole scope, we would understand. It's foolish of us to think that we have the total comprehension. So it's good to read his answers. And he spends very little time on each one. Each one is explored and developed by other svarim and other contexts for pages and pages and pages and pages and pages. Each one is a very... Eov, that's what you think Eov is. You learn Eov. Eov is the sefer that deals with this. And you can learn Eov with Malbim, and it'll take you years. And you can learn Eov with right, the other Mefarshim, and it takes you years. And there's books written on Eov. And, you know, but he spends two lines on it, because he knows he's not giving an answer, because he just got through saying there's no answer. And I don't want you to have an answer, but I want you to have something in your pocket that at least... you could rationally understand. You can't apply it, maybe, because that's what the Nevi'im, you can't apply it to this case, because who knows, what do I know? I don't know anything about the guy, really. But you know that there's 10 possible reasons. So when you say, Kele Muna Ve'enovel, you could mean it. I think that's what the Chavis HaLovis is trying to do. Because I know there's 1 of 10, and there's more than 10, you know, because the HaLovis just tells us 10. I don't know if 10, maybe it's 8. So, okay, having said that, let's go through it. We'll try to go through it as quickly as he does, because he's really on a total tangential point. Next week we'll come back to Bitochen and Hishtadlus, which I think I said last week. I'm sorry. Vapal Pikein, Reisi the Borbazah, Devorim, Shesh Pem, Mitzah Sipuk, that are somewhat satisfactory, perhaps, for Omar. Again, he goes back to his particular issue, but he's so convinced that he's right, and therefore the tzaddik who struggles with parnosa, it's so irrational that it's the larger issue of tzaddik v'ralo. But that's what he's talking about specifically. Why would a chosid, why would a tzaddik struggle with parnosa and not be able to make ends meet? Why? Why is that happening? It doesn't make any sense. Efshar, so reason number one. Shehei machmas chetcha kodam lo. Maybe he, you know, nobody's perfect. He's done a chet. And, you know, maybe his struggle for parnosa is better than being sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish him for his chet in this world. Well, he's not even talking about that yet. He wants to punish him for his chet. And, you know, maybe it's better than being sick. Maybe it's better than being paralyzed. It's better than, you know, for all you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for all you know, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be exhibiting tremendous rachamim. All that's happening to him is that he's struggling with his parnasa. He has a chait. HaMechuyev li parimim en u'alav, that he has to be punished for. Ka'omro, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Hein tzaddik ba'oretz yeshulam, the tzaddik will be, there will be retribution from the tzaddik. Afki Rasha v'chotei, certainly the Rasha will be punished for his sins. So the tzaddik has a sin. Nobody's perfect. We know it more commonly as Ki Adam Ein Tzaddik Ba'aretz Asher Ya'aseh Tovah Lo Yechta.
What about tshuva?
We don't know. Certainly you could do tshuva. We don't know that he did.
But But if he's a tzaddik, then how could he not? Like, that's the...
We see him as a tzaddik, you know, we don't know. Certainly anybody we see could have done a chait.
So he doesn't, when he says tzaddik, he doesn't mean tzaddik from Hashem's standards, tzaddik from the world.
In the history of the world, there have only been 6 or 7 people who have not done a chait. So, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for a chait. So it could be a punishment for a chait. Nobody's perfect. That's reason number one. To which I'm adding, and Hashem might be exhibiting tremendous rachamim, and you know, this might be much better than the chait he deserves. The efshar k'sheyek dei l'shalim lo l'olam haba. See, even the first answer utilized that a little, because there's a principle that many times Hashem will send the punishment to a tzaddik in this world so that he to wipe his slate clean, that he not be punished in Olam Haba. And his Olam Haba, which is the eternal reward, is that much more perfect, that much more pure, that much more on a higher level. So anybody would trade in, if we really comprehended the reality, we would gladly trade in a lifetime of poverty, a lifetime of suffering and poverty, for more reward in Nitzchias, more reward in the Olam Shekulo Emes. And if you think about it, and things are not going badly for you, I think maybe you'll start davening. Hashem should please send some tzaras your way when you think about this. You say, uh-oh. Right, the Gemara says that when Rabbi Lezer was sick, the Talmidim came and Rabbi Yochanan laughed. And they said, "What are you happy about? Look at the suffering our Rebbe is undergoing. Look how he's suffering. His body is racked with illness." He says, "You know, as long as everything was going smoothly for him and he was on top of the world," I said, "You know, who knows what's going to be in Olam Haba? He for sure did Katoim somewhere in his life, and now I see Baruch Hashem, he's getting punished in this world. Now I know he's on a smooth track, straight track, to the highest levels in Gan Eden. So why shouldn't I be happy? I'm thrilled. There's a Gemara in Brachas." So that's already Rashi and Chumash says. It's almost a Befeirish of Pasuk. Mishalem el son of Lavum. Mishalem el son of the Rosh gets Schar in Olam Hazeh. Because Hashem, so to speak, doesn't want to be beholden to him in Olam Haba, which we'll explain later. It's not that Hashem is like, you know, a sneak. It makes sense. It's rational. But we'll see that in a moment. And Hashem pays back the tzaddik in Olam Hazeh that he have a more perfect Olam Haba, which is really more meaningful to the tzaddik. I mean, he's a tzaddik. He wants to bond with Hashem. He would, as I said, he would gladly trade a lifetime of suffering for, if he knew, for sure. Hashem would give him a choice. You know, you could suffer your whole life, but in Olam Haba, you'll be, you know, that much closer to me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I'll say, I don't understand the question. Like, what are you asking me such a silly question for? Of course I'll take the suffering. That's number one. So that's when he talks about punishing the tzaddik for a chait, included in that is the principle that the tzaddik would rather get his punishment in this world than in the next world. His second is... This is a more difficult concept. This, the second thing, which looks like what I just said, if you have a chaimis l'alvavus, but it's not. The second thing is called Yisurim Shel Ahava. You might have heard the phrase. And sometimes, and this is, it sounds weird maybe, but sometimes Hashem sends suffering to a tzaddik in order that he overcome it, he overcome the nisayon, that he has complete faith and he's besimcha and he accepts what Hashem did and he's obeyed Hashem to the utmost of his ability in order to increase, purely to increase his reward in Olam Haba. And that's like saying Hashem sends a person a nisayon, which is really an idea we're familiar with. Why does Hashem send a nisayon? Because he wants you to rise above yourself. He wants you to use the latent kochos that you have, which are lying dormant and only exist as a potential, and Hashem is not going to reward you for potential. So Hashem deliberately sends a situation. So we know them as nisyonos, you know, go shecht your son, 10 nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. Why does Hashem send nisyonos? In order that you overcome them, you exhibit what you're capable of, and you get your reward. But there's a concept of Yisur and Shalamba, which we don't think of as an nisyon, but that's precisely what it is. That a tzaddik will suffer as a nisyon. That Hashem sends him Yisurim, sends him suffering, in order that he overcome them. The name of this is Yisurin Shel Ahava. Now, in order that he overcome them, and Bizocha Tolam Abba, but it's really more deep. You see, that's what the Chavis Halvava says. It's really, I don't want to say deeper. I think we could, it, not only are you, it's more involved than just, okay, Hashem sent me Nisayon, so I get more schar because I overcame the Nisayon, which is very valid in and of itself, but it's really more, because whoever's undergone suffering, I mean, we're talking about good Jews who have undergone suffering will inevitably tell you afterwards that they felt closer to Hashem as they dealt with the suffering. And they feel they bonded with Hashem more. And like, that's the schar, you know, you're closer in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is merely the spiritual mirror image of what you've accomplished in Olam Hazeh. It's not like some goods, you get an ice cream bar. It's how much you've bonded with Hashem in this world. So Hashem, when he removes the body, the physical, the neshama stays bonded. The neshama, and your Olam Haba is the degree to which you've bonded with Hashem in this world. But in this world, you don't really feel it. You don't have that much pleasure in that bond, in the spirituality, because we're busy with the guf. And we have to feed the guf, and we have to deal with the guf, and we have this whole world to contend with. And the refrigerator broke. You know, I'm bonding with Hashem, but I gotta, you know, I gotta call the repairman and sit in my house till he comes and get mad at him because he comes and he didn't really fix it. You know, life. It's called life. But we're bonding with Hashem and our neshamas. We're having bitachon and we're besimcha and we're overcoming the sionos and we're not getting angry and we're not talking lashon hara. All of these things. So our souls are bonding with Hashem. We just don't feel it because we're busy with the guf. We're busy with the guf. So, but once the guf is shed, so that's Olam Haba. What's Olam Haba? Olam Haba is, to whatever degree your neshama bonded with Hashem in Olam Hazeh. It's not a lollipop because you were a good boy or girl. It's what you did. It's what you accomplished in this world. It is that. That's what it is. You bonded with Hashem. That's why it's such a pity. Pardon the expression, a waste. Please be mindful of the expression. To do mitzvahs and not understand what we're doing. You know, you walk by the mezuzah like 100 times a day. You kiss it, you know. Or you look at it and you say, oh, what a nice case. You know how much that case cost me? And you're like, a mezuzah, like Hashem is hovering in the house, the Shekhinah's in my home, Hashem's watching over my home. It's not necessarily the watching, you know, that's already, we like to say, I check your mezuzahs, you know. It's not that, that's not what it's all about. That's like it's a prize. It's maybe a prize. The mezuzah is that Hashem, it's like tefillin. You know, you say, how can men get to wear tefillin? So you have a mezuzah on your door. Same thing. More mezuzahs. You're the bias. A woman's the bias. Bias has a mezuzah. Shekhinah's in the home, day and night. What do men wear tefillin 40 minutes a day nowadays? Big deal. And even when they wear it a whole day, it's only a day, not at night. Mezuzah's there day and night in the bias. You're the bias. That's your tefillin, is the mezuzah. So we just unthinkingly kiss the mezuzah. Well, it's a Shema Yisrael, the Hafta, the Parashia, Shema Vayim Shmoa. Hashem is, the Shekhinah is in your home. Your home's a Mishkan, the Shekhinah is in your home. That's the mezuzah. So you feel it and you feel uplifted and you have to be done. That's it, you know. So if you, I'm just picking an example. Shabbos, you know. If Shabbos is just... you conk out Friday night. And no, it's okay. It's okay to conk out Friday night. You worked hard on Friday. You conk out Friday night. But if that's all it is, I wish I could conk out Friday night. I usually do after the soup. I don't like having guests Friday night. I have my guests on Shabbos day. So yeah, you conk out Friday night, and then this cholent. And I'm talking now to men and women. If that's what Shabbos is, that you didn't do malacha, what a pity. It's a pity. It's a waste. Chas v'sholem. I mean, a waste. What do I mean, chas v'sholem? There's great merit earned by listening to Torah and mitzvahs. And you're listening to Hashem, and you know, and you're not doing things because it's Shabbos, and Hashem said you're not allowed to do malacha. And there's great merit in that, but it's a waste. It's a waste. It's a pity. Shabbos is so much more. Shabbos is so much more. Every mitzvah is there, and that's what chayvus halivavos. Every mitzvah is there. You're creating your olam haba when you do mitzvahs. So you go through Shabbos, and all that happened is that you rested up from the week. All right, you know, but you, Hashem created the world. You're supposed to appreciate the world. Appreciate nature. Appreciate that Hashem made the world for you to enjoy it, to live it. Hashem is the creator. That's what you're celebrating every Shabbos. After around 30 years that you developed that idea, you can move on to the second Dibros and Dvarim and connect Shabbos to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That it has to do with stopping to work, and we're not slaves to Paro anymore. We control our work. Our work doesn't control us. That's the message of Shabbos as stated in the Dibros in Vayeschanan. That Shabbos is connected, right, to remember that we were slaves in Egypt, and Hashem, we don't have to work anymore. We don't work for Paro, right? That's what it is. Right? You work a whole week, and you're working for your boss. So Shabbos reminds you that you're not working for your boss. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. You're not slaves. L'cheilus olam. We didn't just go out of Mitzrayim then, but now I have to work 16 hours, 12, 14 hours a day for my boss to earn money. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim l'cheirus olam. We're not slaves to anybody anymore. We are just doing the Ratzon Hashem. Now, a person might be in a situation where he has to work 16 hours a day to make ends meet. It happens. But that person has to think, I'm doing Hashem's will. I'm doing Hashem's will. Hashem wants me to do this. And, hey, Hashem, if you don't want me to do this, you know, there's an easy solution to this. Get me out of this mess. But if you're doing Hashem's will, so you're an Eved Hashem. I'm going off on a tangent. Olam Haba is whatever you created in your neshama, in Olam Hazeh. It's not a lollipop. It's the shedding of the guf, and now your neshama is wherever it is. So, and that's the beauty of mitzvahs. That's the beauty of Torah. Take advantage. A mezuzah. Think a little about mezuzah. You want to know, wow, Rabbi, what do you want from us? So, to the men, I suggest at least learn Sefer HaChinuch by the Shabbos table. Sefer HaChinuch gives us a little glimpse into what a mitzvah is, into the meaning of a mitzvah. Now there's even, in English, they wrote a book, I think it's called Meaning in Mitzvahs. I think somebody wrote a book like based on Sefer HaChinuch. I think it's called Meaning in Mitzvahs. I don't recommend the book yet because I don't remember reading it and knowing that it's good. I just remember the name. But I'm saying we should. It's really so vital to work on Chovos HaLevavos. Every mitzvah has a lave. So, you know, you give tzedakah. You don't just give tzedakah because you feel bad for the guy. That's good. That's great. And don't, that's good. And, you know, give tzedakah, because Hashem told me I have to give tzedakah. What can I do? It's also good. Don't get me wrong. That's good, and you'll get schar for it, because that's also a bonding. If you say, I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to do it, right? I'm eating matzah Pesach night because Hashem wants me to eat matzah. That's fine. That's good. but it's not what it could be. You know, you could think about the message of matzah, and your soul internalize it, and your soul bonds with Hashem, and that's your Olam Haba. That's all Olam Haba is. It's not magic. It's what you created in Olam Hazeh. So, getting back to Chayvus Halavus somehow, he says that the tzaddik is. There's a concept called Yisurin Shalahava. Yisurin Shalahava, Hashem wants to give the tzaddik an opportunity to bond more with him. So Chayvus Halavus just makes it into a regular Nisayon, quote unquote, which is an idea we're familiar with. You have potential. Hashem wants you to actualize your potential. He sends you an Nisayon so that you actualize your potential and you thereby earn a reward. I'm adding to that, you know, suffering, it's a Nisayon. There's no question that it's a Nisayon, but suffering, people who have suffered and have overcome will tell you that they've bonded with Hashem. When you overcome the Nisayon of suffering and you believe in Hashem and you know that Hashem loves you and He's doing this for a reason, even if you don't comprehend the reason, you bond with Him. You overcome the suffering by these realizations, and you shed previous misconceptions, and you realize the world doesn't center around you, and nothing's coming to you. I mean, these are all different things that might be going on in a person's head. He starts to appreciate what he has.
What about the person who suffers and just becomes bitter and doesn't grow from it?
So he's not being omid the Nisayon.
Seems to me that there are many people that just Hashem just, you know, kind of hands them one and goes from one thing to the next,
We firmly believe that Hashem does not send an Nisayon to a person if he can't overcome it.
He can't, not just overcome it, but if he can't actually grow from it.
Well, he's going to have to grow from it to overcome it. It's not a simple thing, you see.
So where does it leave him if he doesn't? It just leaves him
He didn't pierce the Nisayon.
But he did suffer. Suffering counts for something. Like, that's what I'm saying. He suffered. So what does the suffering count for?
It's true. You're combining different ideas of the Chayvus Halavus. His suffering will be a kapara, but it's not logical to me that it will be a kapara for his not handling the suffering properly.
So he gets an onesh for that?
It must be. Why did Hashem? It depends why Hashem sent him the suffering. Again, you see, that's what
Allah is
saying.
We don't know
why Hashem sent him the suffering.
So
Hashem might have sent him the suffering as a kapara for an avera, and then his becoming bitter doesn't matter because that wasn't his nisayon. Uh-huh. Hashem knew he would become bitter. Hashem knew he can't handle this nisayon.
Okay.
Hey, if you know I can't handle the nisayon, why'd you send it to me?
Okay.
Because I didn't send it to you as a nisayon. I sent it to you as reason number one, as a kapara for your averus.
But it's pushing him further away from him. It's not.
So,
Yisurim Shalchet is, in any case, it's supposed to bring him closer, even if it's Yisurim Shalchet. It's not supposed to push him further away.
There are elements of each of the Chayvus Halavus is terutzim in everything. To a degree, it's a nisayon. To a degree, it's a kapara for chait. And the person has to handle it. You know, if you say that it's pushing him away from Hashem, maybe that's begether his onesh. And then maybe that's a purification process in itself. You know, to give you an extreme example, you know, Gehenim is a purification process. Gehenim is not the worst thing in the world, believe it or not. Gehenim is 11 months where the soul undergoes a purification process. So maybe in Olam Hazeh, the person's having his Gehenim. Right? We don't know. That's why he's throwing out 10 different possibilities, and many times it's a combination of the possibilities.
It's hard to understand the purification process in terms of somebody who someone who, as a result of the suffering that they have, has now, you know, do away with all Torah.
So we don't know. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't have tainus to him for that.
Really?
We don't know. If he couldn't handle it. So why did Hashem do it?
So it's not our
because
place
of the kapara. That's
so
right. Now you comprehend. That's why the Chayvus Halavus started with a paragraph that the Nevi'im didn't give us answers because we don't really know the answer.
But we so often say to people, but Hashem only gives you any sign that you can handle it. You have to rise above it. So we shouldn't be saying that to people.
We shouldn't be judgmental. We should be helping the person.
Oh, you try to give the person chizuk.
That, if that's your kavana, that's fine. That's cool.
But maybe
don't lecture. Don't lecture. Yeah. So that's why you have to be careful not to lecture, but just, you have to, you, that's why it's difficult, right? You don't just barge in there and say, hey, you know, this is great. I gave you a song, you know. Don't do that.
That's not really true.
Because you don't know. It might not be true. You can suggest it to give him chizuk. It's very hard. You have to give chizuk. Don't lecture. I mean, I'm not lecturing.
Saying to me, well, Hashem doesn't really like me. And I'm going to say, no, 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 he does. He wants
it's
to get close to you. You have to grow. So
it's possible.
I don't know.
So, but it's going to be very hurtful if you say, well, you must have done an Avera last week, and this is your onus. You're not going to say that either.
I'm just saying it's
so it's chizuk. It's chizuk. If it's mechazuk a person to hear, and you can talk with a definitiveness, you know you're not sure. The person knows you don't know. No offense. He knows you're not a Navi. You know, he or she knows.
Until now, I thought that was always, until this moment, I always thought it was true. That when a person suffers, no matter who you are, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring you closer. It's your choice whether you're going to overcome this challenge and make it as something that's going to help.
The Chayyus Halvadus gives seven possible reasons. Today we learned two of them. If the second reason speaks to you and you find that the most comforting, then you should share that with other people who are suffering, and maybe they will find that the most comforting. But his point is, we don't know. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. But it's comforting. It's chizuk.
Yeah, if it was true. If I knew.
We
it was
don't.
True.
Really?
I don't know.
Only if it's true. It's still true. It's still true. It's still true. It's not always true. It's not always true.
And that's why people do end up just.
We don't know. You still don't know. Maybe they're not being omig v'nisoyim. Maybe they failed in the soyim. Or maybe, you know, look, vahi b'shalach paro esa'om, v'lo nochom alokim derech eretz plishtim ki karovhu.